International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Ida Lupino and Conrad Nagel in Challenge for Three. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847, Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel welcoming you to the 14th of the new series of Silver Theater Dramatic Productions. Next week, you'll hear Leslie Howard and Rita Johnson. And in future weeks, Myrna Loy, James Stewart, Andrea Leeds, and others. Today, we're proud to again present lovely Ida Lupino in the concluding episode of the Red Book magazine story, Challenge for Three, by David Garth, adapted for our Silver Theater by True Boardman. Again, it's my privilege to play Jack Pemberton opposite Miss Lupino's Elaine Carsden. John Carney, will you raise the curtain for us?
Of course, Conrad.
And now, lights are being dimmed, and the silver curtain is rising on today's concluding chapter of Challenge for Three. Several weeks have passed since the death of Nathaniel Carsden, pioneer copper magnate. And in the library of the Carsden home, Elaine, his granddaughter, sits, surrounded by relatives and trusted servants, listening as Jack Pemberton, young attorney and college professor, finishes reading old Nathaniel's will.
The country estate, the sum of $3,000. To Arthur Gerald, my personal valet and butler, the sum of $10,000. And to any and all servants not herein mentioned who have served me for a period exceeding 6 months, the sum of $1,000 each. That's all perfectly clear to everyone?
Perfectly, Mr. Pemberton, perfectly. I'm sure that we all agree that dear Nathaniel provided handsomely, not only for those of us related to him by blood, but for those who have served him faithfully as well.
That's right, Mr. Pemberton. And I know I speak for all the servants when I say we're grateful.
Elaine, there's nothing you wish to question. I mean, it's all perfectly satisfactory to you so far?
Of course, Jack. Go ahead.
Right. All of the above bequests having been made, the...
Miss Elaine, forgive me, miss, but it's most urgent.
Yes, Gerald?
It's that Mr. Norroy again. I told him I couldn't disturb you now, but he said to tell you that he wouldn't come again. But you would know what that means, miss.
But I... All right, Gerald, ask him to wait. I'll see him when this is over.
Thank goodness.
Elaine, there's nothing wrong?
No, of course not. I'm so sorry, Jack. Please go ahead.
All right. All of the above bequests having been made, the remainder of my holdings are to be converted into cash and held in trust for my beloved granddaughter, Elaine Natalie Carsden. She is not, however, to inherit the bulk of said fund for 10 years from the day of my death, nor may she in any way borrow against said fund. And in the meantime, she shall receive only the sum of exactly $100 per month from my estate.
Why, Elaine, that's absurd. $100 a month.
Please, Aunt Elvia, let Mr. Pemberton finish. Go on, Jack.
Well, Elaine, perhaps you'd better read the rest of it yourself.
Why? All right, Jack. Furthermore, this provision has not been made without due and careful thought. It was the will of a higher power than ours that mine should be the duty of raising my granddaughter to womanhood. And I see now as I make this my last testament that I have partly failed in my duty. I failed in that I love her so much, I never gave her a chance to achieve a true and deep understanding of life. Thus, this provision in my will, the only thing I can leave to Elaine that should, if she's a true Carsden, bring her the happiness I desire for her. And I'm betting on her. I want her to remember that. Well, that's all of it.
Well, I say it's absurd.
Now, Elvia.
Don't interrupt me. I say it's absurd. What is this 10-year nonsense, Mr. Pemberton? Nathaniel never mentioned it to me.
Well, that's quite understandable. He just decided on that clause a short time before his death, Miss Carsden.
I say Elaine should fight, and all the rest of us should back her up.
Well, I won't. I won't contest a word of that will. I knew that Tugun had put this in the will. He told me so. He also told me why. Now, would you mind going now, all of you?
Oh, now, Elaine, you're just upset and not thinking clearly. After all, there are times when I haven't exactly approved of your carryings on myself. Carrying all over the place, getting your name in the papers. But when it comes to letting $10 million sit in the bank while you live on $100 a month. Well.
Now, please, Aunt Elvia, it's all right. You see, Tugun was convinced that I wasn't a real Carsden. He thought this might make me one. Perhaps he was right. Anyway, I'm going to try and find out.
Well, all I can say is that you insist on being foolish and sentimental. I suppose it's your own funeral. Come, Martin.
Yeah? Oh, yes, dear.
I'm sorry, Elaine.
It's all right, Uncle Marvin. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Elaine.
Yes, Jack.
You were pretty swell about all this.
Was I?
I'm proud of you.
I'm glad.
Elaine, what's wrong? Why not tell me? These last few weeks, of course, I know you've been upset about Toogun, but there's been more than that. Something I can't quite figure out. What is it, Elaine? You know I'd like to help you.
That commission or whatever it is, Jack, for the government. Leaves soon now, doesn't it? For Paris, I mean.
Yes, the end of the week, but
it's going to be so swell for you, I'm sure of it.
Elaine, why don't you answer my question?
Your pardon, Miss Elaine, but Mr. Norroy, you haven't forgotten.
No, of course not, Joe. Jack, would you mind going along now? I have an appointment.
Norroy. I've heard that name before. Who is he?
You don't know him. Go on, Jack, please.
This fellow has something to do with whatever it is that's been upsetting you, hasn't he?
Oh, please, Jack, you've got to keep out of this. Take my word for
it. But, Elaine,
You're executor of the Carson estate, but you're not running my personal affairs, and I want to see Mr. Norroy alone.
All right. Of course. Goodbye, Elaine.
Goodbye, Jack. Gerald, tell the gentleman I'll see him now.
Business.
Come in.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you finally decided to see me, Miss Carson.
Didn't leave me very much choice. Well?
Well, first of all, about your grandfather, naturally
Look, would you be good enough to leave Mr. Carson out of this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I only wanted you to understand that even in my business we have sensibilities. We were more than willing to drop the matter of the medallion for a while
until now. Yes, I understand. And now you've come to remind me that you can prove I smuggled the Yuan medallion into this country. And that to keep you from telling the customs department about it, I must either help you smuggle the Allardyce necklace in from England or pay you $50,000.
Well, you seem to have all the facts pretty well marshaled. It's good of you to make it so easy for me.
I'll make it still easier. I'm not going to do either one, Mr. Norroy.
Oh, I see. Well, it's too bad.
What you really want from me is money. Well, it so happens I haven't any. $100 a month for 10 years, that's my entire income, according to the terms of my grandfather's will. And I can't borrow against the estate in advance.
Really? Well, it would seem now that you no longer have an alternative.
If you mean by that I'm going to work with you and your friend Mr. Turgot, help you to smuggle in that necklace, you're wrong.
That's exactly what I mean.
Well, I'm not. I smuggled things into this country, yes. That Yuan medallion, for instance. But I did it for fun to see if I could get away with it.
Really? Well, my witnesses don't look at it that way. They think that what they saw was the working out of a definite plan. A plan between you and your friend Jack Pemberton.
You know that's not true.
No. Heiress returns from Europe. Young college professor meets her on dock before she's undergone customs inspection. She slips valuable medallion into his pocket. And he doesn't know? I'm afraid it makes me laugh, Miss Carson. Just as it would make a jury laugh.
Yes, but don't you see, if you involve Jack in this, you...
They'd probably ask him to resign from that international commission he's been appointed to. I know. That would be unfortunate.
Mr. Norroy, please. Find someone else to help you on this necklace job. I can't do it. A lot of reasons I wouldn't expect you to understand. Please.
I'm sorry, Miss Carson. I'd like to be agreeable, but there's no one else we could find with either your intelligence or your social connections. And in a case like this, both are invaluable. I'll run along now, but about 4 tomorrow afternoon, I'll be calling on the chief customs inspector with an interesting story about the Yuan medallion. That is, unless in the meantime you make up your mind to stop me. Goodbye, Miss Carson. I hope it isn't too long before I see you again. You know where to reach me.
Well, Grandfather, you seem to have managed to leave a girl pretty much on the spot. So you were betting on me. That's swell. That's wonderful.
Elaine.
Jack, you didn't go.
Well, that fellow here and you feeling about him as I know you do? Of course I didn't go. Elaine, will you listen to me?
Jack, don't ask me any questions, but do you really want to help me?
Do you have to ask that?
Is your car here?
Of course, outside.
Let's get in it and ride. I don't care where. It's just that I've got to think something through. Now, remember, Toogun said once he could always think at least twice as clear with the wind in his face. So I'm going to find out if he was right.
You know, I've always been pretty sold on this view from up here. Especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm, it's lovely.
Well?
Hmm?
How about it? Was Toogun right? Is whatever it was all cleared up now?
Oh, I don't know, Jack.
Because if it isn't, I think I know a pretty good solution.
Do you?
Elaine, darling, I know it's pretty soon to speak of this, but somehow I don't think Toogun would mind. And, well, as I told you once before, this commission appointment of mine rather makes a difference. I do wish you'd marry me and come to Paris with me, Elaine. Well, you need more wind in your face to think of an answer to that one?
Oh, Jack, I don't know. haven't been thinking about us somehow.
Of course, I haven't forgotten what you said about wanting the man you marry to be a knight in shining armor, but... Well, I had an idea that maybe my turning diplomat might make me eligible.
Maybe it will later on. You know, you've been the Rock of Gibraltar these last few weeks.
But not now, eh?
Not now?
Now, when there's something really worrying you, you won't let me help.
Well, it's just that there's nothing you can do, Jack.
I could do a swell job of trying.
But, well, look. Do you remember what Two Guns said about wanting me to be a real Carlton?
Yes.
Well, a real Carlton, what he meant by one, you couldn't become a criminal, could you? I mean, just go out and intentionally break the law.
Of course not.
But on the other hand, that same real Carlton wouldn't mess up somebody else's life. Somebody that was fond of them. In love with them, even, would she?
No, I don't suppose she'd do that, either.
So you see, that's it. That's why you can't help, Jack.
Elaine, please, will you stop talking in circles and tell me what this is all about? What has that fellow Norroy to do with it? Why is it a case of honesty against loyalty? Loyalty to whom?
That's it, Jack. Honesty against loyalty. That's what I have to decide. And I think I have decided.
Elaine.
You can start that now. I think I know what I'm going to do. It still comes a long ways from being Two Gun's idea of a Carlton. I'll bet if he'd ever been on the same kind of a spot, he'd have made the same decision. Anyway, Two Gun, I hope I'm right.
Before we bring you the concluding act of Challenge for Three, starring Ida Lupino and Conrad Nagel, may I suggest an easy way for many of you to turn a Christmas gift into a New Year's resolution. A week ago, many of you I know became proud owners of your first sterling silver. You received International Sterling's stunning Me to You set. And having seen with your own eyes the rich, lustrous beauty of this exquisite solid silver, now more than ever, you long for a complete service of solid silver. So why not, this New Year's Day, resolve that you'll get that complete service, that little by little, during 1939, you'll add extra matching pieces to that Christmas Me to You set. Resolve, for example, to get another Me to You set every month. It only costs $16.75, and by getting one set a month, you'll have a solid silver service adequate for simple entertaining in practically no time. Or perhaps you can afford more pieces at once. Then go to your silverware dealer and talk with him. He'll be delighted to help you make your selection and to tell you about International Sterling's convenient budget payment plan, whereby you too can easily achieve your heart's desire. A complete service of solid silver by International Sterling. Once again, the lights are being dimmed, and the silver curtain is rising on the concluding act of Challenge for Three, starring Ida Lupino and Conrad Nagel. It is early the following morning at the Carsden home. Gerald, the butler, is in a heated argument with Connie Dawson, formerly a burlesque dancer, but more recently Jack Pemberton's secretary. At the moment, Connie is decidedly vehement.
I don't care if it is 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm here to see Elaine Carlson, and I'm going to see her. Now!
But my dear young lady.
And I'm not your dear young lady. Look,
but
I...
But Carlson is asleep.
I tell you that don't... doesn't matter. This is important enough
to...
Yeah,
what's wrong out here? Oh, Miss Dawson.
Asleep, is she? I'll say she ain't. Isn't. And I'll bet she ain't been asleep all night any more than Jack then.
What are you talking about? Where is Jack?
I don't know. But the last I saw of him last night, he was just about that. Worrying about you. That's why I'm here.
You may go, Gerald.
Yes, miss.
After he left you last night, Jack came to the office. He's got a lot of important work he's supposed to do. But does he do it? He does not. He goes on for hours about you being in some kind of trouble. And all I can get out of him is junk about... honesty versus loyalty and being a true Carsden, whatever that means.
Connie, look, I appreciate you being interested,
now
but
listen,
you...
Listen. That time I was up in night court because the show I was in got pinched, and I couldn't pay my fine. You helped me out, didn't you? You got me off and then sent me up to Jack's place and told him to take care of me. You thought it was funny for a college professor in a small town to have a burlesque dancer on his hands. But gag or not to you, it worked out okay for little me, see? You helped me out, so... So now I'm paying off by helping you.
That's more than generous of you, Connie, but there's nothing you can do.
Oh, listen, there. What's Norroy got to do with this?
Norroy? Well, how did you know he was...
That's the one thing Jack said last night that made any sense. That he thought a guy named Norroy was mixed up in what's worrying you. Well, is he?
Suppose he is, Connie.
Listen. In case you don't remember, my name used to be Sherry DeVault. 8 years I worked in burlesque joints and nightclubs. I know a bunch of people and places that are another world to you. And one of the people I know was Noroy. Now come clean with me. Man to man.
All right, Connie. But Jack mustn't know this.
Okay. I'm a walking clam. Cute.
Well, when I came back from Europe last month, I brought a jade medallion with me. And I smuggled it through customs by slipping it into Jack's pocket when he met me at the dock.
Yeah, that's smart.
Go on. Well, this man Noroy and some friends of his saw me do it. Now they threaten to turn the case over to customs.
They'll live them. They can't prove it.
But they can. You see, I sold the medallion because I was short of money. Noroy bought it.
Gosh. But why keep all this from Jack?
Well, because this new appointment of his means everything to him. I don't want him to lose it.
Lose it? But I don't...
Remember, I put the medallion in Jack's pocket. Noroy and his friends say they'll testify that Jack and I were working together.
I get it. You see, you did fix up a pretty mess of fish. Well, what are you going to do?
There's only one thing I can do. Noroy wants me to work for him, to bring in a certain necklace from England, the Allardyce, it's called. He swears that if I do that, he'll give me back the jade medallion and forget the whole business. I'm going to do it.
Are you crazy? You mean you believe that guy, Noroy?
Well, what else can I do and keep Jack out of it?
Hey, wait a minute. You're awful concerned about Jack all of a sudden.
Well, maybe I am.
So it's like that, huh? Well, I guess the laugh's on me.
What do you mean, Connie?
Nothing. Just making sounds. Oh, but let's figure this out. You know where Noroy lives?
Yes.
Well, there's probably about 6 warrants out for the guy under about 8 different aliases. But tipping off the law to him still wouldn't get you in the clear. As long as he has that medallion... Wait a minute.
What?
That medallion. That's all they've got on you. I mean, without that, they couldn't prove nothing. Anything.
But the point is, they do have
it. Here's the answer.
What?
How much nerve have you got?
Well, I guess I've got my share.
That's what it'll take. Now, look, here's the thing for you to do. Listen, you go with these guys, see? And tell them it's okay. Tell them you decided to work with them just as they want. But all the time, you're just waiting for a chance to get your hands on that medallion. It might take a day or it might take a month. But if you play your cards right, sooner or later, the chance will come. And once you've got the medallion away from him, you're in the clear. And Jack, too. They can't do it.
Now, don't try to lie to me, Connie. I talked to the butler on the phone, and he said that you'd come there at 7 o'clock this morning and insisted on seeing Elaine.
Well, what if I did? She did me a favor once. Why shouldn't I help her out?
You help her out?
Yes, me. This is once where my kind of education is better than yours, Professor.
Now, look, Connie Dawson, you're going to tell me the truth. Have you any idea what it means to be in love with somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I've got an idea.
Well, in case it's news to you, I'm in love with Elaine Carson. And if she's in some kind of trouble, I'm going to be the one to get her out of it.
Yeah, but... Well, listen. Which is more important to you? Her or that new job of yours?
That's a crazy question. Elaine, of course.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Okay, Jackie boy, I'll tell you where she is and why. And then keep my fingers crossed when it all comes out straight. Anyway, it'll give you your chance to be that guy in shining armor. Worst luck.
Connie, will you please tell me what you...
Okay, okay, it's like this. Elaine is going this morning to the place up on 73rd Street where the fellow Noroy and his partner Turgot have their headquarters. You see, Noroy and Turgot...
Oh? What did you say?
That Carson gal, she's been waiting inside for about an hour. Said she was sure you and Noroy was expecting her.
Yeah? Well, Noroy knows she's here.
No, he ain't been around yet.
Okay.
Mr. Turgot, begun to wonder if you weren't coming.
Sure, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. So you decided to see things our way, did you?
Well, you see, my grandfather cut me off with an income of $100 a month.
No. Well, if that ain't a raw deal.
That's exactly the way I feel. Which is one reason I was more than ready to work with you and Mr. Noroy. He said something about a 3-way split.
Yeah? Well, him and me hadn't talked about that part of it.
You know, when I first realized you and Mr. Noroy knew about that jade, but that stallion job I tried to do, I was pretty upset about it. Now I'm glad things worked out just the way they have.
Yeah, this little piece of green stuff has come in handy for all of us.
Oh, you have it here? Well, then maybe it won't be necessary to wait for Mr. Noroy.
Wait for him?
Surely he phoned you about it. You see, when we agreed to work together, I told him about some friends of mine that I thought might buy that medallion. At a good price, too.
Who are they?
Some people named Kendall.
Yeah?
Only they're leaving for South America tonight. But I thought you knew. Oh, of course, we can wait for Mr. Noroy if you prefer, but it would be smarter for me to take the medallion and go right over there. Then one of you could meet me afterwards
now,
and I could...
Now, look. You don't really think I'm going to give you this trinket and just let you walk out of here with it, do you?
Why not? Oh, surely. Surely you don't think I'd have come here alone unless I really intended to work with you. But of course I can understand your suspicion. Suppose we both go then. My only concern is that we see the Kendalls before they leave.
Well, okay. We do it that way then, but I keep the medallion till we get there.
Of course. You can wait in the car while I take it into them. Let's be on our way.
Sure. I'll just grab my coat and we'll be... Oh, Nora, you got here just in time.
Well, Miss Cousin, I'm delighted.
I'll wait downstairs.
What's the rush?
I can wait in the car.
Wait for who?
Let me pass.
It's okay, Nora, it's okay. Miss Cousin and me was just going to ride over to see these friends of hers she told you about, you know, on a medallion deal.
What friends? And what deal?
What do you mean, what she told you? Oh. So that's what the score is.
Better sit down, Miss Cousin.
No, thanks.
Some friends would buy the medallion, and you take it to them and meet one of us afterward,
Let me handle it, Tony.
No, you've been handling it long enough. I'll start taking over now. Listen, Miss Elaine Carson.
Let go of my arm.
You can't get that medallion alone, so you're going to take me along with it. Where? What was the rest of it?
Well, I hadn't figured that far ahead.
I'll say you hadn't, and there's some other things you hadn't figured on.
Take it easy, Tony.
Shut up, Nora. I am going to have...
Watch it. Well? Well, pardon me, but is this... Hello, Elaine.
The professor.
Come in. Come in, Mr. Pemberton.
Jack, you shouldn't have come here.
How'd you get inside?
Well, there was no one to stop me, so I just walked in.
Huh? Where's Al?
Hold it, Target. Who came with you, Mr. Pemberton?
With me? Why, naturally, under the circumstances, I came alone.
Eh? Well, I don't like the look of this. We're getting out of here now, and we're taking you two along with us.
Getting out of here? But didn't Elaine tell you what we decided?
Jack.
What you decided?
Yes, you see, Elaine and I talked this over last night, and, well, we found the one sensible solution to the whole business.
Jack, listen to
Never
me.
Never mind. Let him finish.
It's really quite an ingenious plan. Of course, I can understand Elaine's trying to back out of the whole thing. She's objected from the first to involving me any deeper in all this. But you see, I've tried to tell her...
Whatever your point is, Pemberton, get down to it. This isn't a classroom, you know.
Jack, why didn't you stay out of this?
Say, forget all this. Let's get out of here.
But wait, Mr. Target.
Huh?
You want that necklace. What is it? The Allardyce. Well, let me ask you, who would have a better chance of bringing it in than a member of an international commission?
Jack.
Huh? And why should you bring it in?
Why? Well, I'll be frank. I happen to be very fond of Miss Carsden, and I'd like to get her out of this. So if you give us your word that you'll turn the Yuan medallion over to her in return for the Allardyce necklace, I'll bring it back from England. Is it a bargain?
A very smooth one, Pemberton. And how can we know you'll follow through on it?
Well, what choice have I? As long as you have the medallion, it's a threat to Miss Carsden and to myself.
Hey, listen, Nora, are we going to...
Now, wait a minute. You both have to admit that I'm the only one here who isn't already under suspicion. And I seem to remember an old legal quotation which goes, Semper Fidelis caveat emptor.
Huh? Hey, never mind the fancy talk, Professor. We can do with less of that than...
Target! Target, listen!
So there was no one to stop you outside, huh? Al! Al! Hey, Clark!
Yeah?
So you have to talk slow, do you, Professor?
Yeah, but not now.
Norroy! Norroy! Hey, Norroy! Help me, will you?
That door. Close it.
Oh, no, you don't. Get back there. Now, Target, get away from me, you fool. Fucking like a shot at him. Hey, Nora, look out. The girls. We got...
Oh, Jack, quick, grab the gun.
All right, now, you two. Get back against that wall. Come on. Open the outside door, Elaine.
Jack!
All right, break this up in here. Well, I guess it is broken up.
Jack, are you all right?
Yes, Connie. Except I'm about to talk to death. 5 minutes more and I'd have run out of lecture. I thought you'd never get him here.
These are the men, are they, Mr. Pemberton?
Yes, and another one out there in the hall.
All right, take him out, Thompson. You heard him, you two.
I suppose you think this ends the matter, Miss Cosby?
She knows it does, Norroy. Or she will when I tell her. You see, the customs inspector knows all about the Yuan medallion. But he's sure his department can afford to be lenient with the people who helped the authorities find you and Mr. Target. We'll pay the duty on it, and that will be the end of the matter.
All right, come on, move along. The inspector said you and the lady would be down to headquarters to straighten this out.
Yes, that's right. You can go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I would say the Marines had landed and had the situation well in hand.
The Army, Navy, and Marines.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's time for the Marines to be moving along and leaving the Army and Navy to fight it out.
Thanks, Connie. I'd never have found you, Elaine, if it hadn't been for her.
Yes, Connie, it was awfully swell of you.
Swell? Oh, it was dumb. But I always had a weakness that way. So long, you two.
So long, Connie.
What'd you call me?
Connie?
Next. Cherie. Cherie DeVault. Connie Dawson did a fade-out when you stopped needing a secretary, and she is... pardon me. She ain't coming back.
Oh, Jack. Yeah. Jack, you're...
Elaine, you were crazy to come here. Do you know that?
What about you?
Well, isn't there an old saying about fools rushing in where angels don't fear to tread?
That's all backwards. So's the whole business. You, darling, in that fight, you weren't a conservative college professor. You were... Jack... You were that knight in shining armor.
Well, anyway, that was the idea.
a few minutes, Ida Lupino and Conrad Nagel will come back for a personal word with you. But before they do, would you permit me to make a friendly suggestion to every woman who received a check for Christmas? Make that check last a lifetime. Take it to your nearest silverware dealer and exchange it for the lasting loveliness of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate. For this is the silver plate that bears the design prestige of the most famous craftsmen in America. And right now you can get this finest of silver plate at substantial savings. For example, take 1847 Rogers Brothers silver theater set. This beautiful 62-piece service in handsome rosewood finish cabinet is priced specially at $59.75, a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. And it comes in many different patterns, among them the popular and thrillingly new pattern, First Love. First Love, you know, is 1847 Rogers Brothers' greatest achievement in silver plate design. A pattern whose floral ornament is richly raised and deeply etched in a type of craftsmanship never before available, save in sterling silver. Learn from your silverware dealer how easily and on what convenient terms this stunning silver plate can be yours. And resolve for 1939 to own America's finest silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers. And now back to our director, Conrad Nagel, who's escorting Ida Lupino out in front of the Silver Curtain to meet you in person.
Thank you, John Conte. Well, Ida, after being behind the scenes all these weeks, I can't begin to tell you how grand it's been working with you in a dramatic role. You know, you were swell.
Oh, that's sweet of you, Conrad. I have a TL for you, too. I got a big thrill out of being Elaine Carson to your Jack Pemberton these last 2 weeks.
Well, thanks. I really...
Oh, but that isn't all. I not only like the play and like working with you, but I've become so enamored with Silver Theater's products, First Love and International Sterling, that I'm going to put one of my Christmas checks to work getting some of each for my home.
Good. Well, that really is a TL. Now, tell us about that new picture you've been so busy on, Ida.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, as a matter of fact, I've just completed two pretzels from Mrs. Porter's stuff at Columbia. It was awfully nice.
Well, I hear that's quite a picture.
Yes, I must admit that Porter's and Ralph's stuff looks pretty good in the rushes, Conrad.
Well, that's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Ida Lupino will soon be seen in the Columbia picture.
First thing on the last note from the snurg of the same name.
Well, I give up. What's the double talk for, Ida?
Tell you the truth, Conrad, the title hasn't been decided on yet.
Oh.
So I'm afraid you'll just have to say that I'll soon be seen in a new Columbia picture.
Well, thank you, Ida Lupino. We'll be looking for it. And I hope you'll be back with us soon on the Silver Theater.
I hope so, too.
Tune in next week for another Silver Theater performance starring Leslie Howard with Rita Johnson in an original story by True Boardman, A Study in Triangles. There'll be the music of Felix Mills, of course, and Conrad Nagel will direct. And now, before we leave you, on behalf of our sponsors, International Sterling Silver and 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate, we'd like to wish all of our friends, both old and new, a happy and prosperous 1939. This is John Conte speaking.
Oh, Mr. Conte.
Yes?
Would you mind if I started 1939 by doing something on the radio that I've never done before?
Well, I guess not. What is it, Miss Lupino?
I'd like to be the one to say, this is the Columbia Broadcasting System.